am I on? I can't hear myself. So first of all, y'all need to forgive me. I'm not in the right place of mind right now. And let me explain. I'm a very hot-natured person. Like, as you can tell, like, I wear shorts all the time because I'm just constantly burning up. I am, like, sweating like crazy. So I guess God's already convicting me of my own message, I guess. So we haven't even started. as Jennifer touched on this morning, we're going to be talking about our story, our testimony, and what that means to us as I scroll 400 times to get to where I'm needing to get. Your story is powerful. This last week, if you were able to come to the revival any day, you got stories. You got testimonies. You have other stories that are powerful that impact us. There's a lot of great and amazing things that come through storytelling. Before the Bible was written down, it was told. And that's how stories in your family have been passed along. They've been told from generation to generation. And that scripture that we read earlier in the beginning talked about, speaking to the generations about the Lord and His goodness. And that ties into your testimony. And we'll get into that. And I know this picture right here, I know you can't really read what it says, but that's okay because I'm going to explain to you what's on there. I found this in looking about storytelling and the power of it, and this popped up. And the first thing on the list there, it says, go ahead, Tim. Sensory words activate olfactory cortex. What that means is, okay, when you're telling a story, you're listening to a story. If somebody's telling you a story about, they went down to the coffee shop and they had fresh coffee. Okay, you hear coffee, you probably smell it, right? Because hearing those words triggers things in your mind. And so that's what that means is there are sensory words, there's words of touch, of sight, smell, taste. Instantly, how it affects you, you get it. So if you're telling a story about how you were in some kind of situation and you felt maybe stressed or angered or, those emotions, they come out. You can feel it. You know. And so the first thing in stories is words are very powerful. So the next thing we look at through the power of stories is fiction produces empathy. Now, you look at fiction, they have studied this. I have no idea how it works. I'm no scientist. I don't know. I just found this. It produces things in you that you're not even aware of. In hearing these stories and the telling of the stories. So the words are very impactful to our physical body and to our mental nature. And as we'll see here in a little bit, our spiritual status as well, talking about in relationships to God. And so the next thing, our story power, character-driven stories create the love hormone oxytocin. So when you have a character-driven story, like it's really like you're involved in that character, where you have an attachment, it's creating feelings in your body. There's hormones producing that connect you to that. So in storytelling, things happen to your body that you are not even realizing. Thoughts, memories, smells, feelings, hormones. All these things are happening in your body through the power of storytelling. And the next thing, scientists have seen, we tend to ignore cliche phrases or words because of the loss of storytelling. There's a loss of storytelling in our society. I don't think we don't sit around as much as a family and tell stories and pass on those things of maybe latter generations. I remember, I'll get to a story about her in a moment, but Jennifer's great-grandmother, Alty Lambright, when I was living in Midland, I'd come and visit with her and sit with her on every Thursday. And she would just tell stories. That's just what they did. Especially back before you had TV, and that was your entertainment. You told stories of what happened, and that was the communication. And so there's a loss of that in today's society. And so next in our story power, we see that there's another hormone, cortisol. It's released during like peak story time. Like, you ever been listening to a story where it's like, it's the exciting point and you feel different? That's what's happening. Stories do things to us that we don't realize. And that's touching a little bit before we get to it. That is what your testimony is. Your testimony is a story that should empower other people, that should affect other people in all aspects. Emotionally, it should affect them. Spiritually, you know, these things through stories should be affecting other people through your testimony. And that's what drives them to a relationship with Christ, is those feelings and those things that happen within us when we hear stories and when we tell stories. And so next, Jesus told many stories, and he told them in the form of parables. And when we look at Jesus and the way he communicated, Satan's in my iPad. You look at the different parables that Jesus talked about in the Bible, the mustard seed, the prodigal son, over and over and over. A parable is a little bit different according to like one of the stories that I've been talking about. A parable is more a side-by-side comparison of something. And it's used to teach us a moral story according to God's word. Totally different than what, you know, the storytelling I've been telling you about previously. But still, the same things happen in those storytellings and when Jesus is explaining these things, these parables. And so, and talking about stories this week I wasn't able to go to Wednesday night to hear Brother Ken McMeans. We had our youth service here. But we heard powerful messages from Pastor Mike, from Pastor Mark, and Pastor John. And their testimony in there or two, and some powerful stories about how God is moving and working. And we're going to get in a little bit about your testimony. But first, I want to go back to storytelling. I have a few stories. They're funny. They're going to be short. They have nothing to do with spiritual enlightenment. You're not going to find these in your Bible. These are just stories that stuff has happened to our family, to my family, just for entertainment. So, one, most of you have probably never heard this. Some of my youth kids have. When I was growing up, my brother and I, we fought all the time. And if you have a sibling, you understand. That's just how it goes. I've got three girls. They fight all the time. Now, my brother, he had a real sneakiness about him. He would come to my room and just hack me off. He's real good at that. He's real good at making me mad. So he'd come to my room, and we'd be arguing in the doorway, and I'd push him. Well, I pushed him all right. But then, 5 seconds later, he's flying into the wall. How does that happen? I told my mom over and over and over that he did this. She thought I was lying. She thought I was making it up to get out of trouble. I kept telling her, no. He throws himself into the wall. She's like, that's ridiculous. One day, and this is how God fights your battles. That's a different sermon. That's the doorway. Same situation. He's standing there, makes me mad. Have no clue what it's about. Doesn't even matter now. Makes me mad. Well, I push him. Mom comes around the corner and sees that. Then he flies into the wall. Oh, it was on. Guess where he went? Went back to his room, and he got some biblical beatings, which we weren't going to church or saved, so they weren't really biblical. But I heard him screaming from the back, and I loved it because I kept telling her. So that's one story. Another story. Now, this story, part of the story, it might be kind of frowned upon in church, but that's all right. I'm a youth pastor, so. Okay, I mentioned to you about Jennifer's great-grandmother, Altie Lambright. Altie's grandmother. Loved her to death. Amazing woman. She was old. So when you get to a certain age, there's certain things that you do or you don't do, or you can control or you can't control. We were going to Jennifer's great aunt Nadine's funeral, and Jennifer's looking at me. I can't even look at my wife right now. She knows what story I'm telling. She's going to get so mad. I'm going to laugh. I can't help it. I'm trying to present this in a way that's clean. It's not that bad, but. So we're driving in the car, I think, to the Cajoma. Where are we going? Oh, we're going to the funeral home, I guess, or funeral. Doesn't matter. Car's silent. I'm driving. She's in the front. Graham's is in the back seat. Oh, and I forgot, Alty was in the back seat, too. Needless to say, there was a lot of pressure in the car. It was very quiet, and all of a sudden, this loud sound came from the back of the car. I'll let you use your imagination on what sound that was. And my wife tried as hard as she could to keep laughter from coming out. And you know when you try to keep your, like you're about to explode? That's what she was doing. And I grabbed her leg. I probably bruised her leg because I was squeezing her leg so hard. I was like, please, please, please be quiet. Please be quiet. And it was one of the most hilarious things ever. And then she says, she thinks Jennifer's crying. She goes, Jenny, it's going to be okay. Oh, I lost it. I could. No, it's not going to be okay. You keep doing that. Stories, like crazy, just dumb stories. Another story. We're living in Midland. In an apartment. I come home from work. Jennifer took a shower. The shower head, the first one's about me. The shower head pops off and hits her square in the forehead. She has a ring like this on her forehead. How do you tell somebody you didn't punch your wife in the face? How? Oh, she fell. Yeah, sure she did. How? I don't know how you explain it, that it just popped off and hit her. I wasn't even home. Sure you weren't. Crazy things. We're living here in the parsonage. Livy comes running in. It bit me, it bit me, it bit me. What bit you? Going there, looking on the floor, looking for a bug. It bit me. What? Show me. She comes in. I wish there was one up here. There's one on the side. She comes in. She's like, right here. Points to the plug. She put something in that plug and it shocked her. A bobby pin. Those stories, they're important for our families. It's just, it's good times we remember, even in, during bad times. Like going to that funeral. It was a bad time. But there was fun and craziness in the midst of it. It doesn't always have to be a bad story. So storytelling is a huge part of our lives and the way we function. Whether it's just some stupid, dumb story like those that I shared with you, or the most important story that we have to tell about our testimony. And so, in short, my testimony, I'll make this real quick. I was saved when I was 19. Did nothing for God for 11 years. God, I refused to let God move on my heart. I ignored him. Jennifer shared with our youth kids this last Wednesday, and the fact that our marriage was almost done. But I'm grateful because of the woman she is and raised up in a godly home, that she could forgive and show compassion and mercy just like my God does. And so as we look at, we're standing here with almost a failed marriage about to just crumble. I see God start to move. And I see things start changing in my life. And then we fast forward 5 years later to where I have a wife in the hospital about to die. And I begin to ask God why. I have a five-year-old Ava. And Livy was born and Jennifer almost died. There was an intern that was from New York that just happened to be here. Not really. God sent him here. There was 8 cases documented of what happened to her because they didn't know what was going on until after the fact. 6 of them had died. So after the fact, they figured out what it was. She had a hemolytic anemia. Her body wouldn't take blood. Her body was basically just killing itself. And so I'm standing here wondering and praying in a room full of doctors and nurses. And when I say full, I mean full. I mean, you take half the people in this room and put them in a Sunday school room. That was the case. Thinking, you know, am I about to be a single father? And why? But through that story brings faith, brings perseverance, and brings strength. And through those times of our stories where we go through storms, Jennifer talked about that in the women's conference, about going through those storms and those things creating something great for later on. And that's what I shared with our students on Wednesday after Jennifer was done. There are students that sit in there on Wednesday morning, not because of me, but because of what God is doing through me and using me. There are students in that room that are saved and know Jesus Christ. It's not because of me. But it's because of the fact that I decided to say, you know what, God, I want you to use me in the way you see fit. I want to get out of the way and want to be used by you. And so your testimony is very important. Your testimony is what your life consisted of before Christ, and Jesus died for me and gave me new life. It's not all just about Jesus died for me. Yes, that is the most important thing. But it's so important that you tell people, hey, this was my life before. Before I met Jesus, this is what my life looked like. And because of those things, because of those struggles, because of those bad storms, those stories, those things I went through, I am redeemed and I am justified through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Therefore, my story is different now. My story has a great ending. My story doesn't have a bad ending that I'm going to be in eternity in a lake of fire in hell. My eternity resides with the King of Kings. And I have an opportunity to share that with others. And so, as we look on, Tim, if you'll go to the next. Your testimony is important. Scripture demands that you share it. Scripture demands that you don't just keep it in and keep it for yourself. In Psalm 145:7, it says, "They will give a testimony of your great goodness and will joyfully sing of your righteousness." Is your God good? Y'all are quiet. Is your God good?
Yes.
All the time. God isn't good sometimes. God's good all the time. We're the ones that aren't good. God is the one that's righteous. God is the one we're supposed to be out witnessing about and telling. Just like that says in Psalm, "I will give a testimony of your righteousness." Not about what I've done. Not about what I've done in my own power. It's about the power of Jesus and what he's done through me, through the Holy Spirit living and residing within my body. So look at our next verse. It's Mark 5:15-19. It says, "They came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed by the legion sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The eyewitnesses described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs. Then they began to beg him to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed kept begging him to go with him. But he would not let him. Instead, this is what Jesus tells him. Go back home to your own people and report to them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you." And we talked about that in Sunday school and our adult class about God's mercy. God's judgment, he wants to pour out his judgment and his wrath because of sin. But God, he shows us mercy. We talked about this morning about Sodom and Gomorrah and how God said, you know what, I'm going to destroy that wicked and evil city because they're unrighteous. But God came in and he spared Lot and his family because of Lot's righteousness. So don't you think that God wanted Lot to go and spread that righteousness of God and that mercy of God, and share his testimony? So how are we supposed to use our testimony? So I got 3 points real quick. That's what Jennifer said on Sunday night. If you're going to be a good preacher, you got 3 points. But then, like John said Tuesday night, you got 3 points, or I don't remember who said it, but you got like four million sub-points. So you think it's going to be real quick. I have 3 points, but then 2 hours later, we're still here. To encourage others. You're supposed to encourage others through your testimony. Your testimony is supposed to give life and breath to somebody dead in their sin. It is supposed to be an encouraging thing and lift somebody up, knowing the fact that, okay, this person walked in sin too. I'm in sin now, but there's something different about that person. Our lives, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we do everything, is supposed to reflect a Christ-like attitude. It's supposed to reflect our testimony. If you are saved, your testimony is supposed to come out in your actions. It's supposed to come out in your speech. It's supposed to come out at the football game when we're losing by 2 or 3 touchdowns. It's supposed to come out when you're at home and the Cowboys are losing. Sorry, it's going to happen a lot. I'm not hating, just saying. As John 7 would say, facts. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. Scripture says, let us not grow weary in doing good works. Boy, it gets tiring. Being good, trying to work for God, boy, it gets hard and it gets tiring. Because you feel like you're always on. You never get time off. You don't get time off. When you're serving God, you work from the day that you were saved till the day you die. And you have a mission and you have a testimony to go out and share and spread. Not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Being an encouragement. I want to share something with you real quick. This is not, look at me. This is not, boy, look what I do. I don't know what you do out there when you're visiting people and how your testimony affects people. But I want to share this with you because there's a lot of days where my days suck. I'm going to tell you that. You know why? Because I'm not satisfied in what I do in my job. I'm satisfied in Christ, but it's hard because there's some days where I struggle because I question God, well, why are you still using me in this job where I don't like? But I always go back and realize that I know there's people that are lost out there that I reach every day. And I want to tell you a story about that. When I'm working, if you don't know what I do, I deliver chips for a living. I don't eat them all, if that's what you're thinking. And so I go to all these convenience stores and grocery stores, and I run into some rough people. I'll tell you that. You know, those people that if they come through that back door, some of y'all be judging them. Don't lie. You know, you would. I run into a lot of those people, and I do run into people that are Christians. And I do, I know some of these young ladies that work at some of these stores I go to that they are believers. When I'm working, it's driving me crazy. My wireless headphones broke, so I don't have music right now. I can't do ear pods. They fall out. So I'm usually singing when I work. I don't care who hears. I'm not singing for you. I'm singing for God. I could care less what you think. It's not being, you know, I'm not being whatever about that. I just don't care. It's not for you. And so, and I'm singing. And I'll tell you, the more I'm in this job, the more I try to reflect Jesus. I hold doors for people. I'm polite to people. Even though those sorry fools are coming, you open the door and they just walk on in. Don't say thank you when you just want to, I want to trip you. You know you thought the same thing. I'm telling you, I have conviction already, like I said. Conviction before the message. Our thoughts and our actions go a long way in our testimony. If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, you need to show it. You need to act like it. You don't just act like it at home or at church. You got to act like it over there at the school, over there at your job, over at Walmart, when somebody parks all crooked and sideways. I got a story about that. It's not my story, so I can't really tell it yet. Through your actions, your testimony will be a fire for somebody else. It will be an encouragement through somebody else. We look at Philippians 1:27-30. It says, just one thing, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. This sounds real familiar. If you've been here the last couple weeks, I don't remember which week we read over this already in church, but we've already looked at this. Then whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, working side by side for the faith that comes from the gospel. Not being frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a sign of destruction for them, but for your deliverance. And this is from God. For it has been given to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I have. So Paul's telling us there, you know what? I've suffered a lot for Christ. But in my suffering, my testimony only gets stronger. And that testimony is being used to reach the lost, to save souls, and to send them to heaven. And I didn't finish my story. I got ahead of myself. So I like to sing when I'm working. And whether this matters to you or not, whatever, it doesn't matter. I listen to just Christian music. I didn't used to. That's a whole other sermon and another topic because, I'll believe it at that. So I listen to Christian music only. And that helps me to focus. That helps me to keep my mind right. I'll be in the back of my van getting some chips together, and I won't have my music on, and I'm like starting to get kind of mad and frustrated about something. And I'm like, oh, I don't have my music on. So I turn it on. And it helps. So I'm in the store singing, and about a month ago, this lady over here at Stripes in Colorado City, I'm not trying to cry because Jennifer told the kids, Tony's the emotional one. I'm emotional because of what Jesus did for me. Amen. I was just singing, minding my own business, and she comes over there and she's like, you have a calling. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, I could just tell. I could feel the Spirit coming from you. I could feel the Lord's Spirit coming from you. And that totally blew my mind because I wasn't doing it for her. I was doing it because that's how I praise when I'm working. And so when she said that, it really, I was having a long day. And that kind of just put my mind back into the right spot. And a few weeks later, she tells me again, I went to check out, bought something to drink. And she goes, you know what? You just have a beautiful soul. She's like, I appreciate what you do. Your testimony doesn't have to be just this huge thing. I know testimonies of people that, I was hooked on drugs and I almost committed suicide and I almost died and Jesus brought me from that and all these huge stories. Your story doesn't have to be that to be impactful. It doesn't have to be that mind-blowing and earth-shattering to make an impression on somebody's life. Your testimony should be used to encourage other people to be a witness to them about Jesus' healing and saving power through your life. Regardless of how big or how small you think your story is, it's your story. And the people that know you will appreciate that story when you share that with them. First Peter 2:21 says, for you were called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example so that you should follow in his steps. So our last point, as an opportunity to share your suffering. Paul said, I've suffered a lot. I have been in prison. I have been shipwrecked. I've been persecuted more than any of you, more than everybody. But because of my sufferings, God is using me. God is using my testimony, and he is taking the gospel, and it is marching on because of my sufferings. Because I'm sharing those sufferings with you. You know, we go back to those verses when it talks about, even if I'm here or if I'm not here, I hear the good works that you're doing. That was Paul telling them, you know what? Whether I'm here or not, I hear the great things that you're doing. That's your testimony. What are the great things that we're doing here in Kahoma? What is our testimony? What is our church's story? What is our church's testimony? Are we known by how much we love visitors when they come in the door? Are we known by something else? Are we known by the spirit, the loving Spirit of God that is here, or are we known by something else? And that's as a church. But what about you personally? We've talked about revival this week. Revival is here. It's you, it's me, it's individually. It has to happen here before it happens here. There has to be a change. Philippians 1:12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advance of the gospel. Like I said, Paul said, you know what? Because of what has happened to me, the gospel is being advanced. It is not being held back. It has been brought into light. It has been forwarding. It has been advancing. It has been moving because of my suffering. I'm willing to suffer for the case of Christ. So our testimony should encourage others. We should use that testimony to share with the lost people of our community. Luke 21:10-16 says, then he told them, nations will be raised up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be violent earthquakes and famines and plagues in various places. And there will be terrifying sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. You will be persecuted for your faith. You're no better than Paul. You're no better than Jesus. Look what happened to both of them. But God wants to use you to advance his kingdom. For I will give you such words and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will even be betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. They will kill some of you. Man, how many of y'all have been betrayed or had your backs turned on by family, friends, because of your faith? I have. Good. If that's happening, that means I'm doing something right. Because Scripture just told me right there that I will be betrayed. I will be persecuted. Because I'm advancing the gospel. And God's going to use that. Your story. What is your story? If you don't have a story in the fact that, well, I don't know Jesus and I've never been saved and I don't know what that looks like, then you need to come up front today and say, you know what, I want that story of repentance, of confession, and saving mercies from my Lord Jesus Christ. That may be part of the story that you're missing today. And if so, I encourage you to come up here. There's nothing magical about coming up here. But there's something amazing about surrendering your heart to God. And not wanting to do those things that you want to do anymore, but wanting to do whatever it takes to suffer to advance the gospel. What are we willing to do to advance the gospel? We're supposed to use our testimony to encourage others and to be that light in our community. Our actions reflect where our relationship is with Christ. I'll leave you with this one thing and then we're going to close. Like I said, we've talked about revival. We've talked about, you know, what it means and how it's going to take place. And we've talked about it takes place in you. It takes place in you. You need to let God work in you and through you and stop getting in his way so that the gospel can be advanced through you. God doesn't need you. I told my kids that Wednesday. God does not need you. He does not. But what's amazing is that he wants you. He wants to use you. But I'll tell you this. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be persecution. But as long as the gospel is being advanced, we should be okay with that. We should be fine with that, because if we are, then we're doing exactly what Scripture tells us is going to happen. And we are going to be seen as righteous in God's eyes. Because Brandy and Brian comes up this morning. Tonight, we're going to have our business meeting, and then we're going to go out to our community. We have some little cards left that you can hand to invite somebody to church. If that's all you do is just invite somebody to church, use that as a tool. But you have a story. Remember, you don't have to have this just big old mind-blowing, life-shattering, altering testimony. If you are saved, that's enough. If you are saved by the blood of Jesus, God's enough. All those other things are just a little added bonus. So this morning, if you don't have a story, if you don't know what that looks like, start it today. What does it mean to have that relationship with Jesus? What does it look like? How should I look and how should I act? How should I encourage others? How should my actions reflect that I am saved, that I have a testimony that Jesus died for me and He is my Lord and Savior? What does that look like for you this morning? So I encourage you, as we sing, just pray about that. Pray about what God is speaking to you this morning.